Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning to you, Jason. How's everything?
Good morning, guys. Going great. How are you?
We are great. We're doing really wonderfully. Yeah. And I've talked to you about this a couple weeks ago, and I'll talk to you about it again, as we're now mired in another 0-10, 0-5 over yesterday. Is it simply that the Pirates don't feel they have anybody better in right field than Polanco? We saw what happened defensively yesterday, and it's inexcusable. What's the give there? What's going to happen?
First of all, with the defensively stuff, Colin, I thought it was interesting. Derek Shelton was asked about that yesterday. I think it was Jeff Hathorn that actually asked him, and he thought it was just a perfectly placed ball. I think I'm going to agree to disagree on that one. Polanco's arm did not look up to snuff. But in any case, like, I mean, their best option right now is to play him, and that is the way it is for a couple reasons. One, they don't really have anybody better. I mean, look next door in center field, and Dustin Fowler has done nothing. You know, at the alternate site, Jared Oliva only recently got there, did not have a great spring. Brian Goodwin can't be doing anything if he's not in the mix. I mean, where else would you put some, you know, like, if you bench Polanco, you have to play somebody there.
Phil Evans in right field.
Okay, well then who, then you, do you continue to roll with Fowler in center? Because to me, I'd move Reynolds over to center, put Evans in left, continue to play Polanco, because your decision then comes down to Polanco
or Fowler.
All right,
you can throw out 100 names, and I'll tell you this. I can't live with a Major League Baseball team that has a right fielder that's in a corner position that's hitting 163 that can't throw anybody out. And it doesn't matter what's next. Something needs to be tried to potentially be better. Can I make that argument?
You can. I don't think you're wrong, Colin. I just don't think there's anything... Like, what do you want them to do? I mean, they just don't have the depth there. I don't see – it's not like they're keeping somebody out of right field who otherwise should be playing. That's the point I'm making. And, yeah, I mean, the hope is that he catches fire. I realize that that's sort of dimming. That's a tough argument. I mean, nobody's going to take a guy hitting 163 with a bum arm. I get that. But let him try to work his way out of it while there's nobody there? I mean, that's the best argument I can come up with. He's making a lot of money. They're not going to pay him to do nothing. So you might as well play him and hope something happens.
Jason, do you think they have a line in the sand as far as a date in mind of, okay, if Polanco doesn't get to here by then, we're going to have to reconsider what we're doing? Or are they committed to, hey, this could be a Chris Young thing, and he hits 198 this year and strikes out 225 times, and it is what it is. He'll still play 140 times.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't think that's the case, Chris. I hope it's not the case. I mean, I think fans will absolutely lose it. Like, right now, I can sit here and give the answer I did to Colin, because I do think it's okay to give him a little bit more runway while nobody's producing. Now, if we've seen this over 100 games or whatever, I'm just arbitrarily picking a number, you can't commit to him playing him in that spot. I mean, that's ridiculous. And especially for an organization that's talking about valuing playing time, like, you find a way to make it work. If Rodolfo Castro is your best young position player, bring him up, play Eric Gonzalez in right. You know, you make it work. Give somebody an opportunity. You can't just be married to that sort of thing. You know, I feel like you do have to give him more than 20 games. I think that's fair. It's not great. I'm not defending it. The only thing I'm saying is, while nobody else is challenging for that spot, because nobody is, they're a sub 500 team, or they're flirting with 500, however you want to term it. Like, Gregory Polanco is not dragging down the entire operation. I'm okay giving him a little bit more time to prove himself.
Jason, the amazing thing is that as bad as Polanco has been, he's still better than the two guys that they've been trotting out into center field, except for the game or two that they put Reynolds there. And I've thought a long time ago you know, Reynolds, center field, it's actually the easiest position to field in terms of getting a jump on the ball. Reynolds has said that. He can play center field. I'd try to fill in at the other positions. Because the center field thing, man, the guy they're bringing in from Oakland, he's 1-for-16 before he got DFA'd.
Yeah, and he's a Rule 5 pick that, you know, there are greater restrictions or however you want to say it. I'm with you, Jim. I mean, I think Reynolds should be their center fielder. I don't see any reason not to play him there. And he's had a great offensive year. Not that you'd think about taking him out of the lineup, but just sort of an aside. I really liked what I've seen from him at the plate. But to me, he is far and away their best option there. And they keep talking about this outfield versatility. Like Wilmer Defoe can play out there. Phillip Evans can play out there. Eric Gonzalez can play. Let's see it. Because every single one of them is a better offensive option than Dustin Fowler. And they, you know, Anthony Alford gave them absolutely nothing. So if you have guys who can play the outfield, let's see it.
Jason Mackey on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. Mitch Keller goes today. Now, yeah, there's a lot to be decided with Mitch Keller, I bet. Mitch Keller is a guy that they've got a lot invested in, a guy they think is going to be pretty good. Is there some point in which they just, and I don't know, they just say, hey, we got to see it practically applied in baseball games? Because it seems like he'll make one good start, then have two or three bad ones. Make one good one, have two or three bad ones. It's kind of been the track record for Mitch Keller. Have they found any veining sort of common theme as to why there are these bad ones?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that they have. And I think there's sort of a succession with it, Colin. And, you know, you see him falling behind in counts. You see him spraying his stuff usually outside the zone. I don't even want to say in the zone. And you see his confidence wane. And it's usually a, you know, 1-2-3 sequential kind of thing. When he's ahead in counts, by and large, he's been better. I think last start was sort of an outlier there in that he got ahead of guys and then screwed up. And I think Keller, and I don't have a problem with this because of his age, his profile, how pitching is or whatever. I think you see his confidence dented when things don't go his way, probably more so than you would want to. You probably want to see a little bit more of a bulldog mentality out there where if things don't go right, you just get pissed and go nuts. Like, I get that. And I think the Pirates want to see that attitude change a little bit. And it's not a pouty kind of thing. It's just like, you know, there's a toughness or resilience or whatever that I think comes over time. And I think that's what we're seeing develop with Mitch Keller. I mean, he has all the physical tools in the world. I think we're seeing him how to, you know, sort of figure out how to find his stuff, how to operate without his best stuff, how to control his stuff. Like, there, you know, it's an interesting dial where he's trying to find the right level on. And I do think, Colin, we're going to have to live with this a little bit. There's going to be really good. There's going to be really bad. And when we step back, hopefully at the end of the year, we can say that Mitch Keller learned something.
Pirates insider Jason Mackey with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jason, was this a one-off for Yohure, or does he have a chance to contribute a little bit more going forward? Or is this just, hey, he's down in Toledo, we're up in Detroit, we need an arm?
No, I don't. I wouldn't call it a one-off, but I wouldn't say he's immediately in the rotation. You know, like it's going to be the middle ground there. They really like this kid. They've liked him, you know, dating back to the Tyone trade, obviously. I thought he showed himself very well yesterday. How he used his curveball. He was, you know, a couple mistake pitches. There's a bad call. I'm not making excuses for the kid, but, you know, I think his outing was a lot better than it looks on paper if you watched it. And I think he impressed some people with how he pitched, how he sort of knows how to pitch. And we saw that dating back to spring. So I say that to say I think he made a very good impression. And, you know, we're talking about stuff with Keller. Trevor Cahill has been really bad two times out, was good once. I mean, we'll see where their rotation goes. I mean, Chad Kuhl has been inconsistent at best. Like, there could be opportunities unless some things change in their starting rotation. And I think Miguel Yohure did an excellent job yesterday putting himself in a position if something happens. And the way baseball is, the way pitching is, there's injuries, and it's always good to show well when you get those opportunities.
Yeah, Jason, since it's a small sample size for guys who are doing poorly, it's also a small sample size for guys who are doing well, like Colin Moran. Yet he was once a first-round draft pick. He had some unfortunate injuries. And now that does he look like he's found something? Does he look like a guy who was once a first-round pick now? Could this be real?
I think it could be real, Jim. Absolutely. I liked what I've seen out of Colin defensively. Joe Block had a great stat yesterday. I tweeted about this, that there have been three, and you know, I realize the one was Phillip Evans. That's not my point, but like three double plays started by Pirates first baseman this season. There were three all of last season. I say all that to say that, you know, like Moran has looked good at first. I like him over there. His bread and butter is obviously going to be offense. And we've talked a lot about his approach and his ability to go to the opposite field. Also his ability to pull the ball at the right times. I like his power. I like his plate discipline. I do think he can strike out a little less, but that's sort of my point, that I do think this is at a level where Colin Moran can sustain it. We're not seeing him hit tape measure home runs. We're seeing him, you know, hit the ball where it's pitched, taking a smart approach at the plate, drive in runs when they're there to be driven in. Like, you know, I absolutely think this could be real and repeatable for Colin Moran. It's been fun to watch.
Are people just curmudgeon-y wonks who complain about seven-inning doubleheaders?
I mean, I don't know, man. I like them.
I like them too. We love them. We love them. But people, you hear people saying that's not real baseball. It's not nine full innings. My gosh, what are you going to do? It's a circus game. Is it sufficient enough for you? Because it is for us.
It is for me. Absolutely. I think they're tremendous. And I'm one of those people that, like, I'm old school in a lot of ways, like life and baseball. But baseball needs to change, man. Like, I don't think that people want to sit through four-hour games where there's a bunch of walks and home runs and strikeouts. Like, you need more action. You need more of a watchable sport. I think the NBA is onto something with that. I think you need to sell personalities and brands, et cetera. Like, you know, a seven-inning doubleheader is a long way away from, like, you know, LeBron James or something like that. But, you know, it's a watchable product. There's a fun pace to it. You're not seeing a bunch of screwing around out there in and out in 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I like that part of it, and then you got, you know, a lot of times that leads to, like, day baseball and just hanging out and watching baseball all day, which I did yesterday. I mean, it's a good time.
Nothing wrong with day baseball. We're big proponents of it here, Jason. You know that. Where are we with Ke'Bryan Hayes? Is he back in the lineup this weekend in Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't think he's far away. He'd probably be back in the lineup at this point if there wasn't snow in Toledo. He was supposed to play there Tuesday, snowed out. Supposed to play Wednesday, snowed out. We don't know whether he's going to play today. I would imagine they have to try to get him some sort of game-like at-bats. I was watching him in Milwaukee over the weekend, and my God, I mean, no limitations, whatever. I mean, yeah, he's swinging batting practice off a cage, but, I mean, we're talking about how is his wrist respond, is he hesitant, that sort of thing. I mean, none of that is there. He was letting it rip. So if they can get him a game today, I would not be surprised at all if he's in the lineup by the weekend.
Just to get back to Polanco a little bit, you think if he's in the lineup today, he'll be a DH, or do you think they'll put him out in right field again?
I think it's probably a DH day for Polanco if he's out there. I haven't seen the lineup or anything that, but I mean, did he play right in both games yesterday? I mean, that would sort of break precedent with Shelton to put him out there that much. And I know they want to, like, pump his tires and they don't want to rip on his arm or whatever, but my goodness. Like, they're, but I guess, you know what, Jim, the only thing I would say to sort of qualify that is them, you know, I guess basically being down an outfielder. I don't agree with that sentiment, but the fact that Tom is not yet here, and they might have to put somebody else out there, but I don't know. I'd rather see Evans, Gonzalez, or Defoe go out there. I'd be fine with it.
All right, last thing for you. We were knocking this around today. We're just going to put this out there. What local men who are public figures do you think dye their hair or facial hair? Go. You have to name one person. Because we've seen a lot of ads for, like, the hair dye, the men hair dye things. So are you willing to go anywhere in media? Who are you willing to kind of point the finger at? Or any high profile men? Do you use hair dye? Have you ever thought of using hair dye?
I've never thought of using hair dye. I mean, not to, like, you know, shade graying or something. I mean, in college and baseball, we would all dye our hair like this ridiculous bleach blonde color.
Right. But to offset old age, so to speak, who do you think? Anybody?
No, and I can't think of any. Who did you guys come up with?
Well,
I'd say Colony, but he doesn't have enough.
Robbie in the Seats was a prime suspect that producer Matt said. He thinks maybe it's Mikowski. Do you think Tomlin, yes or no?
No. I don't think Tomlin.
Mario, yes or no?
No.
Matt, who else did we have?
There was one more.
Pomp, yes or no?
I'm going to go no on Pomp.
Me too. I think he just has great genes. I really do.
I do too.
Okay, so we've got all no's.
I'm suspicious on Robbie, though. I think we might have a winner in Robbie.
I like it. This is good. You may hear that. You may see that on Inside Pirates Baseball. Does Robbie Smikowski dye his hair? Yes or no? And then Jay Bell will chime in. Yes.
One, Colin. I'm sorry to jack your topic, but we might need to run this by some Pirates people here.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Jason. Thank you much. This is big stuff.
Have a good one.
All right.
What about Potash?
No.
I wouldn't think so either.
No. What about Sully?
No.
He's got plenty of gray hair.
I know.
It's getting grayer.
Watching Chris LaTang
grayer today.
Man. I had that much gray
and
hair.
And I like Robbie and Smikowski. This isn't a knock. We're just trying to get to, we're just playing detective here. Wow. They're going to have Mike LaValliere talking about it on Inside Pirate Baseball.
The fort.
Who else they got? Bill Verdon, you know, they'll reach out to his family. They'll get him. They'll get all kinds of different old Pirates. They'll talk to, Kevin Young will speak on it. They get those go-tos with Inside Pirate Baseball. Yes. And then we'll get a streak of rain delays. We'll watch it 39 times in 2 weeks.
How about Walker? He's not doing anything now, right?
Good call. Real good call by you, Jim.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.